two, three. All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm back with another video. And even though I said it wasn't going to happen, it happened. We got Dead Penetration back.
What's up?
And we are doing the Games and Rants show. Remember, our schedule will be Games and Rants and then Grim Articles. But, yeah, I think that's it. Because we'll be doing Games and Rants on Sunday and Grim Articles on Monday. So that's going to be our schedule, and you will see those videos probably posted later, if not Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. Just whenever I can get them, because remember, I work nights now, and I pretty much have plenty of time to upload content. Anyway, let's get started. The first topic we have here is basically, well, we don't have an article. I tried to look for stuff, but more or less, the creator of Psychonauts 2 announced that they're going to have a mode for disabled people. Well, I mean, because he wanted people that were disabled and couldn't really play games that well to be able to play his game. And they were actually doing more than just the easy mode. They were doing all these special kind of modes that would make it where people that were, you know, normally can't do these sorts of things. Yeah, could actually do that.
Yeah,
and
I think that's a good
people
idea.
Were having an absolute fit because they were also allowing an invincibility mode, and people didn't like that. Now, there is one thing I want to say about all this. There's a lot of get-gooding. There's a lot of, oh yeah, you got to get good, get good, get good, get good. All right, well, from somebody,
yeah.
Let me just
from
somebody that actually grew up with extremely difficult games. I'm talking to games on the traditional Nintendo Entertainment System. I actually owned a copy of Hyde Lie. That game is fucking hard as shit. I owned Ninja Turtles on the classic Nintendo. That game is fucking hard, notoriously.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, I passed through the fucking seaweed part without getting hit once, which is kind of a feat. A lot of people can't do that. Also, there's Ninja Gaiden. I had that game. I had a lot of games that were very hard and did not hold your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of games on that console were like that. Captain Planet was very, very difficult because of that. There was a lot of games. Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that the Angry Video Game Nerd had mentioned, I'd played. You know, and many times... yeah, and many times I'd rented these games.
Yeah.
So I knew how tough they were. I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And one thing that we wanted was cheat codes. And the reason why, I mean, Game Genie was so popular is because these games were notoriously difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really hard. You know, like if you pay money for a game, right, and you could do a really good job. Like, you do get good. You play and you play and you play and you play. Because back in the day, we didn't have a lot of games to play.
Yeah.
So we would play the same game over and over and over again to get better and better and better at it. But the thing is, when we played this game, when we played, like, there was still issues where you would die. And you'd be really frustrated because there wasn't necessarily a save system.
And sometimes you'd have to start from the beginning of the game.
Yes, because there wasn't a save system. So you would die, and you would have to start all the way over from the very beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult. I mean, that's one reason Ninja Gaiden had infinite lives. A lot of people forget that Ninja Gaiden did have infinite lives. But you would have to leave your console on if you wanted to get back to it, because there was no way to save your progress around that time.
Well, I mean,
so,
there was a couple of... maybe that was Super Nintendo when they
Super
started
Nintendo
coming out
started
with
the
save
features. With the save features,
because
sure.
they had a certain battery incorporated into the cartridge that would, you know, keep data for a certain amount of time. I don't know if it kept it, you know, for years, but
oh yeah, it keeps it for a pretty good long time.
Yeah,
but I will say that, like, the games that we needed to, like, save on, like, yeah, you would get all the way to the very end, and then you would either have to go to bed or have to go to school or something like that.
Oh yeah,
and you're just like, well, I can't just turn it off because I'll have to start all the way back.
Yeah,
I'd have to start, you know, all the way over again. I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to be able to see the end of the game. Like, there's a game called SC Annex. It's really hard, but it had a really good story. And I would take it over to my friend's house who had a Game Genie. Because I honestly just wanted to see the final boss. I honestly just wanted to see, like, the other levels that I never... I mean, and it's not like I didn't try. It's not like I didn't play and play and play a game till my eyes bled. It's just the fact that, you know, it got hard. I mean, it was a very difficult game. And when you had these, like a Game Genie or a Game Shark or whatever they came out with, this stuff, it was a lot more fun because you finally would get to see these other levels. Oh, yeah. And it was really cool. I remember having one on original Super Mario World sometimes, and that would have really weird effects and stuff
that you could do.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird stuff you could do. Oh, yeah. But a lot of games were just notoriously difficult. And you're like, dude, if I ever want to see anything in this game, I'm going to have to use a cheat code. Oh. And another thing about these cheat codes is that they were extremely popular. People are talking about game journalists. All these game journalists play on easy and all that stuff. Well, you have to keep in mind, and this is going to make perfect sense when I tell you, but don't you guys think it's funny that in those guides that for those of us who are old enough to remember when gaming magazines were out and they were a thing, I mean, I think they still are, but they were
all online.
Yeah, yeah, but they were
walkthroughs.
Yeah, but basically, okay.
Oh, there was big business back in the day.
Yeah, but there was always a cheat code section or a cheat code guide or even a cheat book. And people would be all over these cheat books, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. Like, these big-time core gamer, core player guys. And, you know, they would call it pro tips, pro cheats. They would literally use terms like that.
Yeah.
They would literally fucking use terms like that, and they would make it out to be like a secret, remember, secret codes? It used to be a really big thing. And, like, again, the only reason why these cheat codes were in these books is because the developers would give the journalists these codes in order to finish their games so that they could review them properly, so that they could review the entire game. The developers gave them these cheats. I mean, it's no coincidence that there were cheat codes in the same magazines that featured the games. And sometimes it wasn't but an issue or two later before you would get a cheat code for a game that was mentioned in a prior issue.
Oh, yeah.
Like, say, they did a thing on Mega Man or something, and then all of a sudden you get a cheat code or you find out about a trick about that Mega Man X Golden Armor from Mega Man X 3. Well, see, nobody knew about that until, you know, that was revealed. Either Capcom told them or something like that. And that's pretty much what it was. They would have these hit lists. And don't forget about tip lines. There were people that would call 1-900-Nintendo, which I actually did. I actually called 1-900-Nintendo, and I actually ran up a $300 phone bill.
Real shit.
Oh, my grandmother was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
But no, 1-900-Nintendo for Link to the Past, just because I couldn't get through some parts. Like, I got confused. I didn't know.
I knew I'd get beat if I called something.
It was not good. My grandmother was not happy. But no, I would call them, and they would go for their little books that they had. And basically, they would use those books to determine, like, they basically had guidebooks that they would go through, and they would give you little cheats, or they would tell you secrets, stuff like that. And sorry folks, I'm still fighting mosquitoes, so you'll just have
mosquitoes.
Yeah, you'll have to bear with me. The mosquitoes have come back for round two. Anyway, this was a big deal back then. People really wanted cheats. It was just a big thing. And even in PS2 days, remember how many people liked playing Grand Theft Auto with all the cheat codes?
Well, you know, honestly, that's probably why the games were so difficult, because they knew they could make money off of the books and the cheat codes and all that.
Well, and a lot of games also were ported from arcades, which were notoriously meant to be difficult.
Oh, yeah,
like
they wanted you to spend quarters.
Spend quarters, correct. So that's one issue that I think people really need to understand about this, is that if you were in the 90s, in the 80s, and even in the 20s, the cheat codes were not something that people hated. Like, they weren't a thing that, oh my god, you're a cheater. No, it was literally like, dude, I remember when I went to Bible study and we would discuss cheat codes, you know, when we weren't, you know, discussing God and all that
kind
of stuff.
Learning about the Lord.
Yeah, but we would actually talk about, like, cheat codes, and people would say, oh, well, I discovered this one trick in Star Fox, you know, because there were a lot of gamers and they like to talk about that kind of thing. So, basically, no, there was no... I want to dispel the myth that there was some kind of big thing against people that use cheat codes and tricks and tips and stuff like that, because that was a big part of gaming back in my day. And now there's this whole new Dark Souls generation where they're like, oh, but you've got to get good, get good, get good, get good. You know, it's like all about the achievements. It's like, oh, you just gotta, you know...
Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you know what they're trying to say? Because I have been debating with a few people on Twitter. And one guy's like, yeah, but it's supposed to be a challenge. It doesn't teach you anything if it's not a challenge. I'm like, okay, let me spill something out real clear.
Yeah.
Video games are not supposed to teach you anything as far as a challenge. You know what teaches you challenge?
What?
Life experience.
That.
Life experience.
Puzzle,
if you do
you know,
puzzles,
God of War
puzzles can be, but
puzzles
can be. But I'm just talking about. Oh, look at me! I've beaten this whole game on super ultra hard mode.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but that doesn't
well,
do any.
Are you any richer?
Yeah. Are you any richer?
Can you quit your job?
I specifically said if you are a pro gamer. Like, if you literally have sponsorships,
yeah.
If you literally have a money prize package, which can be pretty big, and you can make money off of, then absolutely, I am 100% supporting you.
Yeah.
But if you are somebody on the internet that just wants to boast about how you've beaten a hard game, it doesn't matter.
Because
no. I've beaten hard games before, too. I beat Momodora 4 and got 100% in that game. Reverie in the Moonlight, I love that game. It's hard, but it's fun. You know, and I actually played an earlier version before they made things easier. I finished a harder version of the game. They actually dumbed things down in later versions of that game.
Yeah.
I had no problem with it. I finished it. And there were a lot of other hard games. The Messenger was actually pretty difficult. That was a hard game. I died a lot of times, but I finished it. So there have been a lot of games that I have beaten. Out of This World was actually a very difficult game. Anybody that's played those games, if you didn't know what you were doing as far as the battles, because they were basically shield puzzles, and you had to learn how to fight, because remember, you had to set up shields. Your shields were pretty much your life bar in that game. You didn't have a life bar. You got one hit killed. So basically what you would do is you would set up a shield, and then you would set up another shield behind that, and another shield behind that. That was your life meter in a fight. And you were basically trying to destroy the shields of the enemy that you were fighting. And once all their shields were done, you could shoot them one time and kill them, because they also were one-hit kills. So that's one thing that you had to learn. That was a very hard game. There's a lot of games out there that took a lot of work and were not easy. And that's one thing I'm trying to say from somebody that did grow up with these hard games.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is absolutely fucking ridiculous that we're getting upset at, you know, people that basically, I mean, if you're a journalist and you're covering a certain topic, first of all, you don't make a lot of money. I was just talking to the guy from Wombat Trap who basically does reviews of erotic games professionally. He actually gets review copies from the developers. So, you know what he told me? He said, we're minnows in a small pond. He says, it's really hard to make any kind of real money off this, and I basically rely on donation and support from my fans.
Yeah.
They don't pay me for this. And, I mean, even if some people say, well, yeah, IGN or whatever you're working for may pay you. Sure, they may pay you. But I want you to go online and look up writer jobs in that area, because if you do look it up, you will find how much they pay per word. And they have word limits, by the way. So you can't say, oh, I'm going to do like a ridiculous large article and yeah. they're going to pay me. No, they're so not. They're going to pay you only. And you're talking about maybe $100 an article, $70 an article. Dude, I make about, what, $90 a day? $92 a day? Dude, that's one article a day. And by the way, I also need to add the stipulation that many of you guys don't realize. They get to pick the articles that they post. Which means that, yes, you can sit and spend hours on an article that you've worked on. And remember, if one article doesn't go to one publication, they'll try to shop it to another. Because they've got to try to make money from that article that they spent their time on. And again, the publishers, the GamePro, whatever, GameSpot, I guess. GameSpot, IGN, whatever kind of company they have, dude, they can literally say, I'm sorry, your article has been rejected. And guess what? That means that the work that you spent all that time on, you make no money from. And if you can't shop it to anybody else, and if nobody wants it, and that means that sometimes you have to go for a lower amount than what you planned.
That or you wasted your time.
Or you wasted your time. So, please keep that in mind. You know, these people, they're not necessarily, a lot of them probably have day jobs. And I know that's no excuse for, you know, not being good at a certain game. But at the same time, these people also, they're paid to write. They're writers.
Yeah.
That doesn't. You can be a good writer. Well, you can be.
Doesn't matter what you.
Well, another thing.
As long as you can live off.
Another thing, I've heard in writer circles that some of these people that are writing about these games aren't actually into these games.
Yeah.
They're only doing it because they need the money, and it's a gig. A gig is a gig. There's people that write. There was a boating company, and there was a religious company. That said they needed stuff. So basically, there's if you don't know anything about boating, you're damn sure going to try because you want to make money as a writer. And you're going to probably research and you're probably going to get things wrong. Just like with these game journalists who probably don't care. They probably aren't gamers. They're probably not that skilled at the games. Now, I remember back in the days of maybe GamePro and Electronic Gaming Monthly. Yeah, maybe those people there were actually paid a little more. Maybe they actually were gamers. Maybe they actually did care about the games. But because the internet is such a vast place and anybody can get a gig in anything that they, you know, it's really hard to find jobs in that field. So maybe you want to write about something else, like maybe you want to write for the New York Times, but they're like, okay, everybody wants to write for the New York Times, so you're pretty much saddled with, well, I guess I gotta write about video games. I'm not gonna beat around the bush about this. I was looking up jobs, and when I looked up gaming jobs, guess what the only fucking area open was? Polygon. Polygon. $75 an article. Now, I don't even know if I'm supposed to tell you guys that information, but $75 an article for Polygon, if they pick it. So why do you think they write about all this social justice bullshit? Look, for all we know, some of these people on Polygon may not even be for this shit. They're just literally going in there, writing all the little key phrases and words, and here's my $75. Good, I might get to buy some groceries this month. Now, should you live on writing? No, you can't. You fucking can't, unless you're if you make it really big, and you can do several publications at a time. I've known writers that have done 5 or 6 publications at a time, because they're trying to make as much money as possible. Well, and you know what? They have no time for anything, because they're up all fucking night basically doing the writing. That's what they're doing. That's their fucking job. Even,
you know, they're just researching it as they write it, probably, at the time. I'd say, too, on the, the cheat codes and the hardness and all that, and you're talking about, like, for disabled kids, like, with everything, the coordination and all it takes for video games, It's like a basketball player. Some people aren't skilled to be basketball players. Some aren't skilled to play video games at an extremely hard level.
Right.
For those people, especially nowadays where so many video games are more story-driven, I like to play at an easier level to start off with just so I can enjoy the story.
Sure. I mean, we do have to keep that in mind. Our generation of gaming, we had cutscenes, but we didn't have,
We don't have nothing like that. Barely a word. If it was a word, it was the written word at the bottom of the
screen. That's what I meant. No. I was talking...
Sounded like the fucking Peanuts parents or something.
Well, I was... Yeah, sometimes like that, but I'm talking about, we had cutscenes. Like, even Contra and Ninja Gaiden had cutscenes. But that's all we got for a story. Now, you play a game that is a story. I mean...
Yeah, it has famous people doing the voices. Yeah. Sometimes the images of the people.
Well, see, with a game like Cyberpunk, that is really, that game actually sold extremely well on PS4 when it re-released and got back on the PS4 store.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It sold super well when they brought it back. They were surprised at how many copies it sold, mainly because they fixed a lot of the problems with it, and people were legitimately saying they enjoyed the game. I'm willing to give it another shot because... It is a world that I like. I'm into the cyberpunk scene thing. I mean, that's always been my thing, the cyberpunk robots and all that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. And people are saying it's fun. So I liked what we played.
Yeah.
That was an old version. That's not a version that has all the... they're on 1.23 now.
Oh.
Yeah, they've done all kinds of fixes and all kinds of shit, and they're still working on fixing that game.
Yeah,
and that game's like a cinematic experience. That's got all kinds of stuff in it. It's like you're in a world now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that the game... I always try to play on normal first. Like, I always give the game the normal difficulty because I always consider that, the factory default. But sometimes, I'll play with a trainer just because I want to. Like, especially if I know a game's bad, but I want the story. And I don't want to watch somebody else play it. Because the only time I'll watch somebody else play it is if... Like, for example, I watched Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 8. I loved them. I love them. They were great. I don't feel I missed anything by not actually physically playing those. But,
What a data shitload.
I don't think so. Because when they do the Survival Horror Network does their things, they basically do full long plays where they actually read every little bit of data. And they read everything in the game. They show every cutscene. They basically give you the game without actually having to pay for it, install it, and do all that other shit. And it's in really high 4K quality. So I'm just like, why not? And I enjoyed what I had watched, and it was cool about it is, I could just pause it and, check the rest of it out later. But I really got into it. And, of course, you can fast-forward through parts that aren't really that engaging, like just walking around aimlessly or things like that. Sometimes that happen with the player. But for the most part, though, I like to play games hands-on. And, with Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, which I've just found out was canon. I heard the game was terrible. It was a really bad, didn't do well. But it's canon, and it has to deal with Wesker, which is a character I've been talking about a lot lately because I want him brought back, even though the Resident Evil fans I've spoken with in a group, half of them are on my side and half of them aren't. So, but remember, this game happens in between 6 and 7, and Wesker is the narrator, which doesn't make sense because Wesker died at the end of Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here, and apparently I need to play this game. So, if it's a really bad game, if it's really over the top with difficulty, and people said it was frustrating. It wasn't the kind of, maybe some people say Dark Souls is hard, but if you get the patterns right, it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about that it was just stupidly difficult. And I'm like, well, fine. I'll put a trainer in. I'll go through it. I'll get the storyline. I'll find out what information I can glean from this game, and I'll have a good time playing it. Because I don't have to really focus on too much. I might get to enjoy the gameplay. You know, it still might be fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that even on easy will fucking, like, even with cheats and trainers. Because you can still, like, with platforming games, you can still fall in a pit and die. Yeah. You can still have a part where you're lost because you can't figure out a puzzle or you don't know where to go. Like, yeah. There's still a lot of things in games where you don't necessarily...
I mean, there's still challenges.
Yeah, there's still challenges. And even so, there's like, okay, I'm invincible. Well, yeah, but this boss isn't going to go down easy. You have to learn how to beat this boss properly. Like, maybe you have to hit him a certain way and shit like that. So you're still going to have to deal with the frustration of difficult and challenging bosses that have different kinds of setups than just shoot until dead. So there's a lot of different things that can be said for you playing a game with cheats or trainers and stuff like that. And, I mean, I'd even use, like, money codes in RPGs and still died. People are like, yeah, but you can buy 100 million potions. Yeah, but if you buy 100 million potions and all of a sudden you're not expecting a boss to do a super move that kills your whole fucking party, you're like, oh, damn. Yeah, so it can be a little difficult. There are certain things that can happen. And there's even glitches when you play games this way. So, yeah, it's just not the way that people say it is, as far as this cheating thing. I mean, look, I'm okay with them wanting to help disabled people. And to be fair, there are some disabled people that have done amazing things on these games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we're not discounting them. There's people that have played games blind that are very difficult. So, I'm really, you know, that's awesome. Like, that's... I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If you've played a hard game and you're boasting about it, you're nothing compared to the person that beat that same hard game being blind.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, you can say what you want, but if the person can't even see the screen...
I feel like that'd take away from the fun, because it's a very visual experience video game.
Yes, but some gamers, and there are actually, you can look them up,
that have beaten
games completely blind. So that's pretty fascinating. Yeah. And it shows the power of the human spirit, I guess you could say. But, again, that's just how I feel about all this stuff. And I think people really, they're saying, oh, we're gatekeeping. How are we gatekeeping? Because there's so many people that play casual games. I do not think that they are going to get rid of hard level difficulty. I do not think that they're going to get rid of expert level difficulty. Why? Because they know it sells. I mean, if they add an easy mode, it's not going to kill you. You know, remember Doom?
Yeah, you choose Doom, what you want.
Doom had baby mode, it had hurt me plenty, it had nightmare, it had all those. It had ultra violence. Nobody complained. Dude, people that wanted to play Ultra Violence and Nightmare, they played Ultra Violence and Nightmare. And they were good at it. There's still going to be hard difficulties. And I was actually just playing a Japanese hentai game, which was actually Denovu block, believe it or not, guys. Hentai games. Japan is paying to lock hentai games with Denovu. Keep that in mind. That was called Suzukuri Dungeon. And basically, the game first started when I hit new game. It says, playing the game on easy mode will allow the use of the pink haired power up. If you use this game, you will not be penalized, but you will not be able to carry this over into the new game plus mode. So please be aware of that. And that's the first thing they said. So this is a Japanese game. Remember, Japanese games are known to be notoriously harder than other American Western games. And basically they're saying, look, if you want to play on easy mode, we will give you access to easy mode, but you will not be able to carry on to the new game plus. So obviously I went to the normal mode. And for those of you interested, Suzukuri Dungeon is basically just a dungeon. If you play Dungeons 1, 2, or 3, it's basically a dungeon design game with hentai sex scenes. And it's a legit one. It's not just, oh, this is a game where I have sex scenes as a slideshow. No. This is a game where you literally are building dungeon rooms. You're using money to buy different rooms. And then you gather your adventurers. Adventurers will come into your dungeon. And then you basically win if they can die before reaching the treasure room. Because it's a treasure room. You don't want them to get to the treasure room. So basically, that's how you do that one. But again, Japan's actually acknowledging that. And they're like, okay, if you want to play on easy, fine. But we are going to give you a little bit of a penalty. And I don't mind, you know. Because there were games that did penalize you. Like maybe even with, well, I was going to say Sonic. Like if you didn't get all the emeralds, they would say, oh, you got to go back and get all the emeralds. So you didn't do that right.
Sometimes, but games, you couldn't unlock certain characters.
Yeah, you couldn't unlock certain characters. There were also sections where it would say, next time beat the game on easy. On normal, I'm sorry. It's like, if you want a better challenge, try beating the game on normal or hard difficulty.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It made a person want to try. And yeah. Said, you know what? I mean, let a person start out at what they choose, and if they decide to go bigger, that's fine. Now, I have heard from Twitter people, they're like, "Oh, well, I like to play the game on hard or hardest because I don't feel I'm getting a challenge." Okay, fine, play the game on hard or hardest. Play it on what you want to play it on. But if people want to play on easy or normal mode, let them play because. Again, it's, you know, at the end of the day,
they spent
their hard-earned money on this game. Yeah. And I was actually a PC gamer argument that the guy said, what makes you think you deserve to see everything that a hard game has to offer? And I was like, I said, okay, let's think about it like this. I could have bought a hooker, but I didn't. I bought a game. I took my hard-earned money that I worked for to buy the game. Now, I could have got a hooker, and I would have got a pleasurable experience right from the get-go.
But I
bought your game. And that means that I should be able to play your game the way I want to play it because I've paid the money to play your game. I, again, could have bought a hooker, but bought your game. So that makes sense, right? I mean, and I think that's pretty much all I need to say regarding that. I mean, there was this one girl, she was a voice actor, actress or something, and she said basically like, well, yeah, but if you, play the game on easy or cheats, you never necessarily beat the game. And I'm like, and? It's like, what does it matter? It's just a video game. Again, yeah. Unless it's something that you're actually going to be able to garner some version of success from.
Yeah.
You're just playing a video game.
Can you buy a house afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, can you buy a house? Are you going to be able to buy an expensive car? Are you going to be able to go on trips? I mean,
if you have the money on you, yeah. But,
if you're making that kind of money
you
from your gaming,
beat the game and still do mm-hmm. that. If in that case,
yeah. But I'm just saying, if you choose to do this, if this is the thing you choose to do with your life,
are you going to be?
Some people are, but it's just it depends on you know how good they are.
Oh
it depends
God.
On the money. The money. It's all about success. Remember, men are success objects, so if they see a successful man and he is a video game player, you can bet your ass she's a video game fan. Ooh, I love video games so much, you know? Yeah, it's... And then it's like the fucking Twitch thoughts. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to talk about video games anymore that we have in real life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I have to say about all that. I think this whole thing is just really stupid. It's gotten out of hand. And, I mean, being an old school gamer, I've played so many fucking games in my life because I've renting them, all the ROMs I've gone through. I mean, I'm one of those guys that plays every game once just to see what the fuck it is. I don't care if it's so-and-so's baseball. Let me see what... Oh, is this a fun baseball game, though? I discovered Tecmo Bowl that way. And Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo is actually a fun fucking game.
Where they're the androids and you fight?
No. Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Super Bowl. Yeah. Well, I don't even think it's Tecmo Super Bowl. I think it's just Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo, the classic Nintendo.
Well, see, there's
that's
one
a classic one.
That I used to play when I had a Nintendo, when we got those raspberries. It's Android baseball teams. And if you throw the ball the first to get someone out, you had to fight each other, kind of like Mortal Kombat style, to decide whether that person's safe or out.
Right.
So, it's a lot of fighting, plus you can, play a baseball game. Which, watching baseball is about as boring as it gets for me. But
playing it can be fun.
Probably so, yeah.
Well,
definitely on a video game.
Well, we're going to go on to our next series of articles. And this is kind of important because I basically wanted a guy in my server to give me some information. Now, he's not here, but we will go over this anyway because it's very important. Yeah. This is one reason why this will not be put on YouTube. So, yeah, this is a MGTOW.TV exclusive. And the reason for that is pretty fucking
obvious.
Simple. We're going to be talking about the COVID vaccine and issues regarding the COVID vaccine. So basically, we're going to start with, there is an article here from nationallife.com. Basically, they're just saying COVID-19 vaccines may lead to prion-linked brain degeneration similar to mad cow disease. Yes. A new review of possible... Oh, and by the way, let's get the source for that review so we don't look like a bunch of idiots. A new review... because it's giving me a article here. Let's see what it says. Just give it 1 second. Come on, load up. Okay. International Journal of Vaccine Theory and Practice. This is from Stephanie Seneff. She is a computer science and artificial computer science and artificial intelligence laboratory, MIT, and Greg Nye, naturopathic oncology, Immersion Health from Portland, Oregon. These are people from Portland, fucking hipster ass SJW BLM, Oregon, talking about possible unintended consequences of the mRNA vaccines.
Well, you know,
these are people from hipster. I know,
hipster,
but there's a lot people that are.
Yeah, duh, yeah. It's Portland.
We're just going to read. We're going to read the abstract. Operation Warp Speed brought to market in the U.S. and two mRNA vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna. Interim data suggested high efficacy for both of these vaccines, which helped legitimize emergency use authorization by the FDA. However, the exceptionally rapid movement of these vaccines through controlled trials and into mass deployment raises multiple safety concerns. In this review, we first describe the technology underlying these vaccines in detail. We then review both components and the intended biological response to these vaccines, including production of the spike protein itself and their potential relationship to a wide range of both acute and long-term induced pathologies, such as blood disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and autoimmune diseases. Among these potential induced pathologies, we discuss the relevance of prion protein-related amino acid sequences within the spike protein. We also present a brief review of studies supporting the potential for spike protein shedding. Transmission of the protein from a vaccinated to an unvaccinated person, resulting in symptoms induced in the latter. We finish by addressing a common point of debate, namely whether or not these vaccines could modify the DNA of those receiving the vaccination. While there are no studies demonstrating definitively that this is happening, we provide a plausible scenario supported by previously established pathways for transformation and transport of genetic material. whereby injected mRNA could ultimately be incorporated into germ cell DNA for transgenerational transmission. We conclude with our recommendations regarding surveillance that will help to clarify the long-term effects of these experimental drugs and allow us to better assess the true risk-benefit ratio of these novel technologies. So that's just some of the information there. But basically, it says that they first published a research paper on the possibility of the prion-linked brain degeneration caused by the COVID-19 vaccine last month. And they explained that... okay, now this isn't in what I just read. The researchers explained that they have identified a signature motif linked susceptibly to misfolding into toxic oligomers called the glycine zipper motif. It is characterized by a pattern of two glycine residues spaced by three intervening amino acids represented as GXXXG. The bovine prion linked to mad cow has a spectacular sequence of 10 GXXGs in a row and notes that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein is a transmembrane protein and that it contains 5 GXXXG motifs in sequence and thus it becomes extremely plausible that it could behave as a prion. Uh-oh. Recall that mRNA vaccines are designed with an altered sequence replaces two adjacent amino acids in the fusion domain with a pair of prolines, the alters continue. This is done intentionally in order to force the protein to remain in its open state and make it harder for it to fuse with the membrane. This seems to us like a dangerous step towards misfolding, potentially leading to prion disease. Prions were first discovered as the method by which mad cow disease causes brain degeneration due to misfolding proteins in the body. The CDC notes that prion diseases are usually rapidly progressive and always fatal. Mad cow disease progressively attacks the brain but can remain dormant for decades, per the BBC. Pfizer claims the RNA fragments likely will not result in expressed proteins due to their assumed rapid degradation in the cell, the researchers note. They add, while we are not asserting that non-spike proteins generated from fragmented RNA would not be misfolded, would be misfolded or otherwise pathological, we believe that they would at least contribute to cellular stress that promotes prion-associated conformational changes in the spike protein that is present. When Klassen previously published his research, fact-checkers were quick to point to public statements from Pfizer that dismissed concerns of brain prions as a result of their vaccine. It may be worth noting that the most expensive settlement that Pfizer has paid was over $2.3 billion paid as a fine to resolve civil and criminal penalties for illegal marketing of four medications including Bextra, Geodon, Zyvox, and Lyrix. Wow!
And you know, that wasn't anything for them, so that can tell you how much they're making off of it.
Now, I'm going to cover this other article here. Now, there's also some BitChute stuff and all that that he sent me. If I can remember, I'll put them in the description for the video. I'll just have to check it out. It depends on what's going on tomorrow night. Around minute 9 o'clock, one of many... Hold on. This is from PressCalifornia.com. Vax causes miscarried baby brains to bleed and split. Podcast. Now, it says around 9 minutes, one of many bombshells. This roundtable includes Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA technology and is now a villain among the Fauci crowd. Basically, it doesn't actually say, like... It doesn't actually say, he gives me a video that you guys can watch. I guess I'll post this stuff in the article thing, because it's just all video-based stuff. And of course, I've already talked about the nerve disorder.
Well,
another one. That okay. The Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine has been linked very rarely to Guillain-Barré syndrome. 100 prelim reports of GBS out of 12.8 M doses, 0.008%, about 2 weeks after vaccination, mostly in men and mostly in 50-plus years old. Of course, one of the guys in my server thinks that it's being downplayed. I don't know.
I think a lot of cases where they're going to the hospital for help are being downplayed.
No
matter what vaccine.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what I was telling you is where we're, I think where we're at, it was just over a weekend was having like 2,800 cases where they were in the emergency room.
I know. And it's funny because a lot of those people actually were vaccinated.
Yeah.
Fully vaccinated.
Well, I mean, that's why they're there.
Yeah.
Is, counter reactions to the vaccine.
Wow. You know what? That one doctor on, what was it? What was that one that the Hodge twins do, that conservative YouTube? Rumble. There was a doctor that was linked to me on Rumble, and he basically talked about this. He said that when the flu or another kind of virus hit, it would basically cause the immune system to overreact, and it would cause the immune system to start fighting itself.
Oh, like lupus.
Yes, which would end up killing the person and would end up killing a lot of people. Yeah. So there's a very good possibility that what this doctor is saying or had said months ago, I mean, this was actually sometime last year, he was warning that this was going to happen. And it's not good because they're trying to do door-to-door. And it's getting really weird now. It's like, okay, now you're trying to force people to have this thing?
Yeah.
What exactly is the goal? You know, something is weird here.
If you think
here.
About it, if you remember Revelations at all, it's starting to sound like that, where the government's forcing you to do things that you don't want to do.
And yes.
Before you know it, they're going to be like, you have to have this mark before you can buy and sell.
Yeah.
Which is the mark of the beast,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
But, starting to sound very biblical.
Yeah. This coincides with, I'm just going to read the information that he has here. Basically, he has included a clip, and I'll basically add all this stuff in the article. But, it's a medical doctor who says that 62% of his patients who got COVID vax have gotten something called capillary clotting. Some of the other articles are above, perhaps regarding the clotting effect on the brain. Nonetheless, according to the doctor, especially in the clotting as it affects the lungs, it puts increased pressure on the heart to pump blood through the clotted lung tissue. As such, in such cases before COVID, the lifespan of such people generally was not longer than 3 years. And, of course, there's a clip below that will show that. And there is another clip he has included that says this coincides with an oil and gas industry HR executive in charge of hiring for that industry who came out regarding this. Basically, the whole industry expects that any employee who got COVID vax is either expected to be dead or disabled within 3 years. And the industry is already making hiring plans accordingly. Uh-huh. And so outside of some miracle of God or science, it sounds like there's a pretty good chance that many of those with the vax have less than 3 years to live.
Because that's almost, it's going to be nearly like, what, how many percent of the population?
Yeah.
A ridiculous.
You know what,
that's
starting to sound like some conspiracy. That's starting to sound like the Georgia Guidestones.
Man,
anybody
I
that knows about those
case,
Georgia Guidestones?
But
I don't know, man. This
Who
doctor...
This, like I said, anything that the government's trying...
to push
like,
so hard.
Yeah,
is,
they're pushing so hard, like, giving, like, chances to win money through the lotteries. And
you know what's also crazy? I don't want to go full Alex Jones, but you notice how they're trying to push this so hard in minority and poor communities?
Oh, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because if those minority and poor community people just yeet off, then they won't have to deal with those, what they call extra mouth or, those useless eaters are what I've heard. This is really getting into conspiracy
stuff.
Well,
now they're trying to push, like where they said kids don't have to get it. Now they're pushing kids should get it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they're pushing it.
Something feels fishy about
this. Is really bad,
you know, and a lot of people are like, well, I tried away. Like, why would they want to kill a lot of people? Well, think about it. Why would they?
Now, I actually do... I have just considered this because it was going through my head and I didn't read this yet. But he said, I've also heard stories. Of course, it was on Alex Jones' show. But according to some, there are a lot of medical professionals who are seeing the bad side effects and have been substituting the vax with a saline solution so that they wouldn't be part of this atrocity.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see that a lot of these people, these celebrities and all this other stuff, these elite rich people,
yeah,
are probably
getting saline, a fake solution, yes, so it looks like they're promoting
it. Yes.
But they're they're not. Yeah, that's what does sound about right. You know, and you know Trump didn't get it at all. Because he's like, I'm immune, which he was actually following the science. You know, every time they keep trying to disprove Trump,
yeah,
like a year later after, you know, they think it's all said and done, they're like, oh yeah, he was right all along, but we weren't going to tell you that since... We don't like the guy.
Okay. Oh, my God. There's a lot of chats. I think I'm gonna go through as many of them as I possibly can. All right. Invader Tech says, hardest game I beat was probably Mega Man 01 without using a single Cyber Elf, which means no health upgrades. Holy shit, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Hentai Ninja says, I left my Wii on before I got a GameCube memory card while playing Wind Waker. I value being able to save my progress immensely. And Vader Tech says, problem with Ninja Gaiden is once you get to World 6, it can World 6 continues, puts you back at 6-1. Yes. Hentai Ninja also replied to that. Why do that? Seems like a headache. But epic job on beating it that way. And Invader Tech says, to unlock the Jackson Cyber Elf, know the kick in the balls? I miss one or two Cyber Elves, so I gotta go through again someday. Then Hentai Ninja says, screw that. Invader Tech says, thank God for New Game Plus. Hentai Ninja says, I had cheat books. Invader Tech says, in my opinion, the Mega Man Zero games got easier as they went on. Hentai Ninja says, the last Mega Man game I beat, thank Zeus for emulation, was Mega Man 6. Now, I actually played the Mega Man games through the collection, which actually had an easy mode. I enjoyed them more on that mode. Yeah. Were they still challenging? Yes. But that doesn't mean I couldn't go back through and beat the regulars, because I beat Mega Man 8 without codes, and I beat a lot of the other games, 7 without codes. A lot of those games. I beat all the X games without codes.
No.
Not me, that was... oh, wow. It says, call that Invader Texas, call that 900 number or rack your parents' phone bill up the ass. Hentai Ninja says, not me, that was a butt-kicking. I had to beat it the hard way. And then, of course, he's talking more about what he did with Mega Man Zero. Okay, Hentai Ninja says, ironically, most gamers don't care for trophies. Invader Tech says he needs to get the Legacy Collection sometime.
Yeah.
Hentai Ninja says, I beat Dark Souls 1 on PS3. It was hard, but I did it. Currently playing Batman Arkham City on hard mode. Now, I'm currently playing it on normal mode. I haven't beaten it. I know you finished them all.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
Invader... I love them all. Invader Tech says, I've built a few PCs. That's a useful skill these days. I agree. Hentai Ninja says, I hate the fakers, though. IGN phonies, a.k.a. the Rees. They barely play a game and say it's hard. A.k.a. $20 is $20. Invader Tech, also besides building PCs, I've modded consoles and arcade sticks, and I've got some Raspberry Pis. Well, we know that. Hentai Ninja says, my mom got a 660 games NES Classic ripoff, and I thought about modding it. Well, we're not necessarily going to go through all these. He's talking about soldering, and there's a box. Ooh, that is nice. Look at it. It just looks like a classic Nintendo, but it comes with all the 620 games.
Well, it's another case.
Yeah, it's just another case. Oh, now, by the way, since we're going to talk about that, the guy, like the Titans play, dude, that guy just announced a new version. It's the same box, but he just added 149,000 games instead this time. Ooh. It's the same price, too.
Yeah.
So there is a part of me that's like, should I buy another one and just give a different one to my friend? Because it says it includes a lot more games now.
It depends on what games, though.
Well, it has all the old ones that we had originally, but it has more now. He just added more stuff to it. Yeah.
It would really depend on what the new ones were. Because, you know, like those, what is that?
Yeah.
That thing. You know, some of them that are on there aren't compatible with the joysticks.
Right, right. So, well, you can use any controller you want.
Which, you know, with the Raspberry, I'd have got a...
Well, that's what I mean. Raspberries can pick anything. I can use my Xbox 360 controller for that. He says 4K. Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that, Hentai Ninja says. Hoshioni says, some people hate all kinds of info that are spoilers. Hentai Ninja says, I can barely get 720p. And then Hoshioni says they don't want to see scenes. He was talking about the sex scenes in the hentai games. Hentai Ninja, I hate spoilers myself, especially if I want to play a game. And Vader Tech says, yeah, that seems to be a hardware NES clone. Okay, Hentai Ninja says he's played RE1 Remake, RE2. Now, see, the problem with RE2 Remake is I can't get it to run right on my system. Like, it shows up, but I get a really, like, everything's super dark. And it's probably Capcom's fuckery because they don't know how to make good PC ports. So I just downloaded a play of that, and I haven't quite even finished watching it. But part of me actually does want to go back and play that Resident Evil 2 remake all the way through.
Got it. I just hadn't played it.
He's played 3, Code Veronica, played that, 4, 5, and 6, yeah. Hentai Ninja, is that a good thing? Hoshioni, if you like NES. Invader Tech says shit for modding. Best you could do is yank out the board and slap a pie in it. He said that's my plan. Let's see, game better have good sound design. And then of course what the hell? We're not gonna promote that one, Invader. Invader Tech, well hold on. You know what? bootleggames.fandom.com/wiki-mini-game-anniversary-edition. I've never even heard of it. Invader Tech says de novo. Hentai Ninja says, Japanese games tend to be easier than their Western counterparts in most cases. I did not know that. I thought it was the opposite. Oh. And Vader Tech says, yeah, because Nintendo managed to get the Japanese government to make game rentals illegal. Didn't know that. Hentai Ninja says, oof. And Vader says, it's why the used game market was and is still a big thing over there. Also, why FDS was a good idea before it got butt-fucked by pirates. I don't know what FDS is. If you could explain that, that'd be great. Oshioni says, there's also this art they made. It's like telling them to make the cake, bigot. I feel people got the right to make what they want, just as we got the right to play what we want. If their business fails, they got the right to fail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Invader Tech says Famicom Disk System. And Hentai Ninja says, oh, I like playing backyard skateboarding. And then Invader Tech says, might be Tecmo Super Bowl. Tecmo Super Bowl still has people hacking it to update the rosters each year. Wow!
Huh.
That game was made in like 1992 and people are still doing it. Yeah, I can't be talking facts on YouTube. Fact check the fact checkers. And what in the heck did Hoshioni just send me here? That is... Oh my god, it's like some baby and a monster thing. Matrix reference, cuz Jones. Oh, Alex Jones. Okay. And finally, Invader says, that wiki isn't a piracy site. And he says, that GIF gives me knew it. Okay, guys. Well, I think that's going to be all that we have tonight. Thanks for hanging out. And thanks, DP, for being here. We'll do it again on Sunday.
This Sunday?
This Sunday coming up.
All right.
So it's going to be like 2 times in the same week, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
we'll have some more topics, but I really like the topic of game cheating and things because, yeah, I play with trainers. I'm not going to lie. I like my trainers. I like, again, I've said this before, but I want to do a thing where you just cheese the fucking games to where they glitch out, because sometimes you cheese a game and it starts fucking up.
Yeah.
Like, see, with the Evil Within, the first thing you have is this guy chasing after you,
but
it ends if you die. Like, if he kills you, you have to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
However, I'm like, well, what happens if you just stand there and the guy can't kill you? Does he fucking start glitching out? I mean, this could be really interesting.
That is, like, in the first one, it's a cutscene, because it cuts to, like, the same footage.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out if he can be killed, because you do get a knife. Now, and I mean, it might take a million years to kill him with that knife, but
yeah, I've played it. Once I got past him, I didn't really give a shit to go back and try to kill him.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I'm like, if I can't die, I'm just going to see how many times, like, I might even start recording this
now,
shit.
Now, if you could walk up behind him and shoot him in the head.
Well, no, I'm going to go full knife on him, because you don't get a gun until much later in that game. So, I'm just going to go full, come on, and he's going to, like, use his chainsaw, and it's not going to do anything.
I feel
like
they need a Resident Evil game with the motion of, what is that? One where you can make weapons out of anything and you're in the shopping mall. I've got
Dead Island. Not Dead Island.
No,
Dead Rising. Dead Rising. Same company.
I've got Dead Rising 4 for PS4 and it is it's the best one yet. Like, the graphics are really good. The sound, like, it echoes when you're in certain parts of the mall. I mean, it's really good.
Dead Rising was, though. He says Dead Island won by Capcom. I know that, but Dead Rising was.
Yeah, Dead Rising. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was. If they had that range of motion in the character in a Resident Evil game, which I think, what was it, the Rainbow Squad or whatever it was, is. I cannot think of the name, but I don't know that it's that one you're talking about. It was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically like the Special Forces of Umbrella.
Oh, yeah. But that's canon. So we actually have to go through it. So I'm going to go ahead and definitely play that. I'll be playing that probably soon, but I got to beat Resident Evil Revelations 2 first.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm using the trainer on that because I just want to get through, see the story, and I found out that Wesker has a fucking sister, so now I'm really interested to see how that works out. So, yeah. Anyway, hey guys, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. We thank you for joining us, and we're out. Enjoy the decline.